He's blunt, but he's fair. This is Drew Berquist, former counterterrorism officer, realist, and host of This Is My Show, which starts now.
All right, here we go, folks. Friday, booze and banter. We did it. Made it through another week. Hope you brought a drink. Hope you brought some questions. Hope you brought a friend or two, if you've got them. Hopefully you do. But we did it. And we finish off this week, you know, or every week for that matter, with booze and banter. Obviously, we had a break during July. So we're glad to be back with you on this. And for those of you chiming in, this is just kind of controlled chaos on Friday. It's not a formatted show. I don't exactly know what we're going to talk about. I have a little semblance of an idea. And we're also going to break things up today. We're going to change it. We're going to change things around because we're going to bring in a good friend of the show, former lawman, 20-year lawman, someone who comes and watches the show sometimes, participates. You've seen his stuff elsewhere. He also hosts Thin Blue on TV. He's Ray Dietrich, and he's here now. What's up, Ray?
What's up, Drew? I am ready for the show and ready to have some fun, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I know that people have wanted more guests, and we kind of took a break with it, and we figured a great way to bring it back is let's bring it in and booze and banter, keep it super casual, keep it super fun. And I told you and I told the audience throughout the week, let's get into whatever questions you guys, the audience, have, comments, etc. That's what we do on booze and banter. But since Ray is going to be here, and now Ray is here, let's talk some law enforcement stuff, because there's crazy stuff going on in the country, obviously, with the Communist Democrat Party pushing hatred towards law enforcement, with the exception of when it benefits them not to. But yesterday was a pretty crazy day. A lot happened. And I think with everything that went on with Biden, and obviously the title, for those of you who are here listening, the title kind of tells you what we're going to start with and talk about here. But Biden and the CDC have been pushing new mask mandates all week. Did it again yesterday. Mandated federal employees to have the vaccine and or undergo frequent testing if they don't have it, and then essentially threatened new lockdowns. And White House sources are telling Jack Posobiec and others that they're saying as early as the second week of August, they're going to go back to these lockdowns. So I say all that because I think it does tie in to law enforcement, and I'll explain why. But first of all, I mean, we kind of knew this was coming, but did yesterday catch you off guard at all?
You know, I didn't think they would go this fast where the lockdowns were coming back. You know, the mask didn't surprise me as much, but the info coming out that they're already planning lockdowns off this Delta variant, like, kind of blew me away. It's scary because, you know, you want to sit back and go, why are they trying to lock down the country again? Are they scared of, you know, Newsom's reelection or recall election in California? I can't figure out the reason why, but it's just ludicrous that they're talking about doing lockdowns again. I can't even imagine where we're at.
Yeah. Well, and obviously you mentioned where you are, the recall with Newsom, big deal there. Arizona audits coming together and kind of getting finalized there. So there's a lot going on there. Obviously there's stuff going on in Georgia. There's stuff everywhere. And the Democrats are so good at lying and distracting, even to the point where, and I was having this conversation yesterday, I won't say with who, but someone I love very much, but I was having the conversation with, one of the problems we have on our side too, is we have some outlandish ideas out there about things that are going on in the world, whether it's having to do with the vaccine, whether it's having to do with this or that. There's some stuff that people are pointing on, and then they add this next sentence to what they're saying. It's like, well, that's interesting. Could be true, could not be true. But the Democrats glom onto that, and they make everyone focus on the fact that people are talking about it. So again, maybe it's true, maybe it's not true, whatever this fictitious thing that I'm yabbing on about here, but then they glom onto that and skip over the first part of the sentence that was 100% true, and we end up being in this super divided state, the super crazy state. But I think yesterday is important. All of this is important because the law enforcement tie-in here, not that we have to force this, but I want to go here because I think it's really interesting, and we talk about it on the show a lot, is when they start to push these rules, and it tends to happen in California, it tends to happen in blue states, New York, New Jersey, Oregon, all of these places, my home state of Minnesota. But what happens then is you have to have people decide whether they're going to respond. It puts two camps of people into categories, making very difficult decisions. One is the citizens. If these laws and or mandates, whatever you want to call them, whatever they end up being, are pushed down, do you decide that you're going to follow these laws, abide by these rules, even if it risks some sort of fine, potentially arrest. But that puts people in that tough spot. So it affects the citizens. And on the other hand, you've got law enforcement, something that you did for the better part of your life, 20 years. And those individuals also have a choice to make. Are we going to enforce this BS stuff? We've seen Villanueva, I think is his name, out there in California, who said he's not going to. There's several others, but that's a handful of people. What do you think is going to happen, both with the people and then from your experience with the law enforcement community?
Well, there's really two issues when you come to that, right? So those with constitutional, sheriffs are going to be okay. Like, I'm talking like the deputies and the police officers from that level. Okay. If you have a good constitutional sheriff, they're going to stand up against that and say, no, we're not going to enforce that whatsoever. It's not going to happen. You know, Alex Villanueva did that. He's a progressive, the LA County sheriff. He did that even. You'll see a lot of that. And you'll see a lot of local, the red states are going to ignore this. The red areas in policing will mostly ignore this. But the big problem is going to come in agencies like, LAPD. Big Blue City does anything Garcetti says, the chief, and they may get into the business of enforcing this. So then it puts it on the officer. These officers now get into a position where, is this the line that I'm not willing to cross? Like, does this go against my oath against the Constitution? And these are real questions that these officers need to answer. Like, how far will they go because they're being told to do so? Because if you have, the Biden administration saying one thing, then you have Gavin Newsom, your governor, saying one thing, and then you have your police chief saying something, and all the same things, that you must go out and enforce these orders or these laws if they become laws, those cops are going to have to make a decision. Is this the time that they say no? And you're seeing people flee these departments already as it is in huge numbers. That's going to continue even more as people kind of migrate out of policing blue areas. And when that happens, it's just going to get even worse. Like, this causes it to get worse. This causes good cops to leave areas that need them because they don't want to trample on the Constitution. So it's not a good day yesterday for anybody.
Yeah, no, it's just not. I mean, I finished the show. I ended up doing a clip after the show, which I haven't been doing. We're planning to do more of, but I haven't been doing. And was out, sitting out back. Like, it wasn't staged. Like, I went out back, had a cigar, had a drink, and then started seeing all this news come in. And the dude just totally pissed in my drink. It was an afternoon ruining things. Then got into a bunch of Twitter fights, all sorts of stuff. But this is a real big deal. And the fact that they're talking about, as we said before, pushing this stuff is potentially as early as 2 weeks from now, less than 2 weeks from now, the second week of August. That's massive. And I think it's going to be interesting to see who plays ball, because obviously you've had here, Florida, Ron DeSantis, you've had Iowa, you've had Arizona, you've had Texas, you've had some other places. Texas came out today and said that Abbott's going to fine people if they enforce mask mandate. So there's people who are going the opposite direction, but there's going to be some states who are like, oh, thanks, daddy. Thanks for telling me what to do, how to live my life. And it's going to be interesting to see how much it aligns kind of with what a national divorce would look like.
And, it's forcing it. Like, this kind of policy forces it. It's accelerating, us on a path to national divorce. I hate to say it, but at some point, if we continue in this trend and, almost have like an authoritarian government pushing law enforcement into enforcing laws that they shouldn't, at some point, there will be a time where, we may not support the police like we did in some areas. And that's the worst possible situation for everybody. I mean, fast forward a year of more mandates and bad laws and having police go out there and the viral videos of them arresting people with masks or whatever, or walking into a place where they're supposed to be vaccinated and they're not. Like, it creates so many issues and just, makes law enforcement even more of a target.
Yeah, no, it does. It's just everyone. Yeah. I mean, it puts everyone on edge. It puts everyone into this situation. And we talked about it yesterday as a family. It's like, look, I don't think it's going to matter here in Florida. Hopefully it doesn't. DeSantis spoke out like I was kind of saying, but he specifically spoke out yesterday. I didn't hear him say he was going to push back specifically against mask mandates, although I think he will. But he definitely did about mandating the vaccine. He definitely did about passports and demonstrating whether you have it or not as a requirement, all of that stuff. I mean, the guy's been very on point for freedom. And if he keeps this up, we'll continue to be the number one spot. But as crazy as our crew is on the right, certainly the left is crazy too, but as crazy as our crew is, if he fucks up one time, they will rake him over the coals and he's done. I mean, that's how tight it is now. But anyways, getting back to my point, you've got people And I think we're in this situation too, where it's like, you guys, you can't, so many people last year, I would say the vast majority, early on, everyone maybe had some fear, some trepidation, but then throughout the year, the vast majority of the people were wearing masks, at least on the right, were doing it because like, okay, well, I think this is stupid. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. But I'm going to rather, because I don't want to hurt someone's feeling. It's the kind, considerate thing to do. I don't want to make waves, this, that, and the other. It's time to stop being pussies and stop doing that, because if you do that, it's going to just keep happening. And again, you can see why we're back in this situation again, that we're facing this because we all went along with it. So it's like, now it's time where it's like, okay, I get it. Your good human nature says, be kind, go along with things, help out, just get through it. We can't do that anymore though.
No, I mean, if you let them take it all, they're going to take it all. Like LA Unified School District, right? One of the largest, if not largest school districts in the country, announced that they're going to be testing not only employees, but students every single week, vaccinated or not. So if you send your kids to LA Unified, they're going to have that swab shoved up their nose to the back of their throat every single week. That yeah. is not okay. That is not something as a parent that I would even accept. So them pushing harder and harder, at some point, you know, we're going to become the lawbreakers, you know, just to secure our freedom. And that I didn't, if you would have told me I would have said something like that on a video 2 years ago, I would have told you you're crazy, but here we are.
Yeah. No, it is where we are. And I can't imagine going back to my days as a federal employee now with his announcement that he had telegraphed was coming yesterday about federal employees having to get the test or having to get the vaccine and or be tested all the time. It just goes to show again how little they understand the American people, how little they understand their employees in those buildings doing those operations. Maybe the ones that are in D.C. working for the Bureau or the agency or NSA or whoever are fine to comply with that because they tend to be mouth breathers and analysts and whatnot, and they don't really, whatever, they don't count. But the people who are overseas, like I think back to me and my colleagues, my teammates, who are now going to fall in this category, and I spent a lot of my time as a contractor towards the end, and they said contractors too. So the people who are actually out do the pointy end of the spear doing the work fall into the same category, and I'm curious to see what the blowback is, because you've got people who are so focused just wanting to do the mission. Like, please, DC, keep your mouth shut. You sent us here to do a job. Let us do it. That's always been the mindset. It's always been a problem because, you know, and frankly, one of the reasons I got out, because the amount of bureaucrats, the amount of people who would come over and try and tell us how to do things who had no idea what the hell they were talking about, made your life and your job miserable, and it was impossible to accomplish the mission. Now you have that, which is still absolutely there, and I'm sure is getting worse under a Democrat administration, and you compound that, it's like, now you're telling me I have to do this or else. I'm dying to see what happens with this. I'm dying to see what happens with the country in terms of our federal employees. I'm dying to see what happens with the country in terms of the states that are going to have lockdowns, what revolts are going to happen. Are there going to be more political prisoners? We've got freaking political prisoners in our country now and freaking gulags, more or less, which it's just crazy that we're here. I can't believe it.
I can't even believe it either. And you know, I think you're going to see people walk away from their jobs over this. I don't, and it's not even so much about the vaccine, right? Like it's more about controlling what goes in your body and telling the government that they can't do that. I think that the Biden administration knows it. And I think it's another way to root out these right-wing wacko extremists they keep talking about, because they're going to get them out of policing. They're going to get them out of federal jobs and, you know, purge the employment roles of these bad Trump supporters. I'm not sure that doesn't factor in this too. You know, they know that the people not wanting to take the vaccine, a lot of them are right-leaning, and it's another way to get rid of people. It's the government forces on full display, though.
Yeah, no, it is. Hey, real quick, we're going to take a comment here from Bravo Tango Shepherd, but before I do, hit that like button, guys, if you haven't already. Hit the like button, plus sign over on Rumble, whatever platform you're watching. Please do that. It goes to help a long way with the algorithm, goes to help the show, everything we're doing here. But let's pull that up, Disco, if we've got it. Let's see what Bravo said. It's usually entertaining when Bravo Tango says something. Do we have it? Maybe not. It's probably further
going
back
once.
There. Going twice. It disappeared. All right, we'll pull it back up. Bravo, send it back in. You guys can send in questions and comments throughout the show if again we miss it or it gets lost in the sauce, because there is a ton of comments on multiple screens going here and on the other side. We will circle back and try and get to it. That is what today is about. It's about you, although
circle
right now.
Circle back, really?
Yeah, I did say circle back. That's true. Damn it. By the way, did you see the press conference yesterday? You had, oh, now we got it. Well, I'll finish my thought in a second here. The problem with all of it is people will do what the government says, that the real issue, that's the real issue. We've been taught, it's small print, hard to read here. We've been taught not to think for ourselves anymore. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's absolutely the case. And then I think there are people who fall in that category, not to try and make myself sound right. I'm usually not right, but you have people who fall in that category who are just trying to be kind. But ipso facto, you end up in that same lump. Everyone ends up in that same group. And it can't happen anymore. It can't happen. And it sucks because you shouldn't have to be in the position where you're having conversations like, again, I did yesterday with family members saying, look, we're not doing it this time around. If it happens in Florida, it shouldn't. We're not doing it. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. But if you cave, then you're basically saying, I'm willing to give up my freedom. And what's killing me about to mention the circle back joke and Jen Psaki, we've heard her say it multiple times. We've heard other people say it multiple times. Well, it seems like you're infringing on our freedom. Well, would you rather that or have people die?
Freedom.
Yeah, I think freedom. I mean, look, this is a difficult thing, but if you choose to give up freedom to save people, which is not going to, it's not going to change a damn thing. Our death rate was actually lower last year than the year prior. But if you do that because you think you're doing the right thing, you're giving up freedom in the process, something that you'll never get back. And it's a lost little thought in all those conversations with a lot of the populace, obviously not, you know, myself, Ray, and a lot of you even in the audience, but like that has been said multiple times. Well, isn't this an infringement? Aren't you overstepping? Yes, but we have to for now in order to do this. Aren't you more concerned about people dying? No, I'm not. I'm sorry. That sounds heartless. People are dying. That sucks. And some people have legitimately died of COVID, but most haven't. Most of them were dying anyways, and then they happened to get it. Still sucks. Again, still heartless. But I would much rather have freedom and the greater good for this country and for you and me and everyone here than worry about something that's going to happen no matter what. This life's a game of odds anyways. Like we have 100% guarantee. Like we can't get the weather right. We can't get the stock market right. We can't get anything right damn near in this country. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to die. We're all going to die at some point. So the whole conversation is freaking crazy.
And it's hard to trust the government at this point. I mean, I never had great trust in the government, but over the last, you know, year and a half, it has been ridiculous how much they've lied to us. I mean, look, the CDC recalled those PCR tests because they're giving false positives because of the flu. It's something that people got kicked off of social media for talking about a year ago. And it's real. Yeah. So like, how do we trust anything at this point? I'm not willing to give up freedom for lies. Not going to happen.
No, 100%. Couldn't agree more. Well, and one, we talked about distractions at the top of the show. And then we talked about what I'm going to get into yesterday on the show. But one of the things that they need to make sure, and people might say, oh, well, you're coming up with a conspiracy. You're coming up with this, that, and the other by saying what I'm about to say. But you know, everyone should know by now, I hate conspiracies. This is just purely how the Democrats work. If they're talking about this and that one, two, three, four things, and they're making them big and they're all in sync, then they're covering up for something. And certainly one of the things they're covering up for right now is the border. That's a big ass comment that just came through right there. But the border is a huge issue, and it's been worse than it's ever been. It's never been great. I'm not saying that Trump did it perfectly or better. He did much better than we're seeing now. But historically, it's been worse under Democrats. Always been a problem, though. But right now, we're seeing historic, like awful figures. And then we get to this story yesterday where you have the La Jolla Police Department who, because of a citizen who's concerned, calls in this thing. They end up just opening a Pandora's box, finding this hotel that's been rented out, all illegal immigrants, all given I-385 forms that give them the right to go anywhere in the country they want on their own. And huge swaths of them have COVID. So that's not a good optic. It doesn't look good. And that's a huge thing that they have to cover up. And my question for you, Mr. Law Enforcement Officer, former law enforcement officer, is how frustrating would that be? And you could see it in the guy's face to be a police chief or to be a police officer, anyone on that squad there, and find out that this is happening under your nose. No one told you. And the city and the community is getting less and less safe, more and more sick in this case. And again, you were never told a damn thing.
you know, it's mind blowing. Like the agencies even have to deal with these things. And these agencies may be forcing, you know, facing forced vax and masks, and their kids have been sitting in Zoom school for 2 years. Like everyone, like these people, these cops and these law enforcement officers dealing with the fallout from immigration, they've had to play by the rules of all these COVID nonsense mandates, but they'll bring in, you know, 200,000, whatever it is, a month over the border, put them all over the country, not tell them, have the super spreaders crossing over the border. And, you know, it's crazy to think that they're not coordinating with law enforcement. Now, it's a crazy thought, but it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. They never have, like when it comes to that, you know, in the past. But I don't know what the answer is how you deal with that. And with this much coming over the border, untested, unchecked, you know, if COVID's this serious and everyone's so scared of the Delta variant, how can they ignore what's happening at the border and then still be serious when they ask us to mandate it or ask cops to go out and get people to hate them even more by even discussing masks or mandates or anything to citizens? As a law enforcement guy, seeing what the Biden administration is doing with immigration, I mean, it's just decimating these border communities. I used to work in Riverside County, and we had a border patrol checkpoint just to the south of us. And we'd go out there because they'd get interdiction with bunch of narcotics and stuff, but that checkpoint is shut down, and that is like one of the main arteries northbound for dope to come through from Mexico to the U.S. and it's been shut down for about 6 months. So that's weird.
Yeah, yeah, that is weird. But no one's talking about that. Well, I find it interesting too how they don't talk about this, and they, you know, I guess I said it earlier in the show, but like they slam law enforcement, this administration, this party as a whole right now, slam law enforcement all the time. You know, you never hear them say, black, you know, back the blue, support the blue, any of that. I mean, they talk literally about defunding, or in the case of my home state of Minnesota, dismantling the police. Like when I go to my Vikings games this fall, and I know some of you are like, oh, you can't go support that. I'm sorry, I have a problem. My family is all about football, and we've had season tickets for over 40 years. So unless they do something really stupid in Minnesota regarding the team, we're still going to go to some games. But when I go there, we're going to go there. They're literally voting in November to potentially get rid of the law enforcement community. But all that to say, the Democrats slam them, slander them, tell bogus lies about, and they have no stats or data to back it up whatsoever. But they, because they have the mainstream media on their side, they're able to get whatever message they want out there. So they slam law enforcement officers, your former colleagues. And then if they need them, such as the case with January 6th, where of course they were all about law enforcement and security that day, then they flip the switch and talk about how the Republicans are trying to defund the police, which is the funniest thing ever. I love how they project and like, well, let's just try this. Let's say they did it, even though it's obviously not true. But as you watched what happened, was it, gosh, earlier this week, what was your take on those guys? And I'm not asking you, Ken, but I'm not asking you to bash the cops who were on the stand that day. It seemed like political theater to me. But what was your take on it? And what do you think other law enforcement officers in the community across the country, their take was on it?
You know, for me, I will bash them. First of all, you know, I'm one of these guys where, you know, I don't feel like everyone is just a cop. Like they might be a credentialed police officer, right? And this is just me talking my opinion, right? But Capitol security guards might as well be museum security guards to me. You know, Secret Service does great things, but they're excellent at protecting people and investigating, you know, money, financial crimes. But those aren't cops. For me, if you haven't worked in patrol car in a community and gone out and done police work, investigations, and arrested people, you're not a cop. So to see Pelosi's sham commission come out and find four left-leaning, you know, cops, two who have massive trails in social media of left-leaning support, one of them for the Kenosha riots, straight out supported it, attends BLM rallies, pictures with Pelosi, all of the things. It's just complete political theater. And people in the law enforcement community are very upset that now the Democrats are going to back the blue. But if I say to back the blue, I'm a white supremacist. I'm a racist killer. You know, all cops are racist killers. Anybody who supports cops is a white supremacist, unless it's these four Capitol cops who can push the narrative that there was an insurrection. It's right. Gross.
Well, it's like they're messaging. I mean, you see that, and I see comments coming in about it too. I mean, obviously, and frankly, you can say the same thing for our side too. Typically, when there's a hearing or a commission, it's political theater. Both sides say their piece. It's very in unison, and it ends up going nowhere and accomplishing nothing. But the Democrats are experts at it. But like when you see the mainstream media, and you can see some funny clips and montages out there. I don't have one to show, but you've seen them before. Everyone's seen them before, where they're big on an issue. And you'll hear multiple pundits, anchors, guests go on, different networks, different people, and literally down to the words, like verbatim, they're saying the same thing because they're in sync. And for that, I give them props because there's some sick, twisted douchebags on the other side, but they play the game better than we do in a lot of ways. But you can see the trend and you can see, okay, they're all talking about it. So this is a narrative. This is a mission, an agenda for them. And that day reeked of that. Like, you literally had people all up there saying the same thing, all crying. Like, here's the prerequisites. You have to at least pretend or have some sort of credentials that say you're a law enforcement officer, whether you are or whether the law enforcement community would see it the same way or not. You have to be on our team, anti-Trump, anti-this. You have to hate America, and you have to be willing to cry. Like, people should be given awards for some of the stuff that was given the other day. Then they should be beaten and had a pineapple like shoved up their ass or something. But like, when you see all those people together in unison, like, I don't understand how people don't see that. I'm like, oh, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem right. And then they don't show the video of was it Dunn who made that bold accusation that people, a huge group of people, were chanting the N-word at him, which obviously is awful if that's true. But there's a video of everything that day. Like, so you're saying there's no evidence of this. You're just making it up because, of course, it sounds awful. Sounds damning. The whole thing just pisses me off. But
video existed, it would be everywhere. 100%.
It would be everywhere. Yes. 100%. I mean, in this day and age where everything goes viral, and as much as everyone hates each other and wants to say, no, see, you are awful, you're absolutely right, right? I mean, it would be freaking everywhere. Mary says, hey, one of those Capitol cops looked like Antifa, neck tattoos galore. What do you think? Well, as Ray was saying, some of them have a social media trail that's very deep, showing that they support these things. Of course, Antifa is not real. We've been told by the FBI and Joe Biden that it's just an idea. But they support this idea. And obviously, I'm screwing around. They're as real as can be. Look, I don't care if you have neck tattoos. I don't care if you have different tattoos. Like, some people like it, some people don't. But the proof's in the pudding. When you've got statements and posts that back up that stuff, and you actually think that they're doing something good or beneficial to the community, to the country, I got a big problem with you. Because they're a bunch of mouth-breathing kids who, to me, aren't worth a whole lot. I won't say that their life has no value, but it's damn close. It's damn close.
I mean, they did the Don Lemon tour afterwards. So, like, anytime that you're supposedly this police officer who was so scared, and, you know, all these terrible things happened to you during this violent insurrection and attack on democracy, the first thing you do is go on Don Lemon. So that should tell you everything you need to know about who testified at that commission. It's crazy.
Who, by the way, yesterday was out, you know, with the choir, the chorus, whatever, calling for the government to force vaccine mandates. It blows my mind that these people are so eager to give away their freedoms. Like, they don't. I was in a couple arguments on Twitter yesterday because I responded to one of Biden's tweets and I let him know that he had handled the marketing and the messaging. And obviously, I hate the guy. I think he's awful. He fails everywhere. But I simply was making the point that he has handled the marketing and the messaging behind this worse than anything I've ever seen. And of course, the trolls all chime in on their side. Half of them probably fake, or probably more than half of them. But they're chiming in, and they're slamming Trump, which was not mentioned. It's like, time out. What are we talking about here? This, I didn't mention Trump. He's renting space in your head because I didn't even bring him up. You did. But they're defending it, and what they're defending, and what Don Lemon's defending with this kind of stuff, with pushing the vaccines and all of that, and you've seen Joy Behar, all these people. We've seen a million articles come through the different sites that we manage too, and there's plenty of examples. But they're literally pushing to give away their freedom, and I don't get how and you can't argue with them because they are so hardened on it. But it's befuddling to see someone say yes. I want someone to tell me what to do. I will not leave my house or take my mask off till Uncle Sam says I can. If they say they're going to put a shot in me, they're going to do it. If you know, all of the, how the hell did we get here? I mean, it's the reason why we're at the point now, and we've talked about it a lot. You and I have probably talked about it. I know I've talked about it in the show, where as much as it pains me to say, like, guys, we've just got to break this thing up. Like, there's no coming together with that other side, because neither side wants to come together at all.
Oh, it's, what do they call it? Irreconcilable differences. I mean, we're there. Yeah. We don't agree on almost anything that matters to us, on how we want to live our lives. It's not just like little issues that may or may not really impact us. Like, we're talking about like your daily life. Like, is your kid going to be able to go to school? My son, who's going into fourth grade, is now going into his second full year of homeschool. So that'll be, if he completes that year, it's 2.5 years no school, because I won't put him in a mask, right? Like, yeah, that is a real consequence. And I don't think that we're going to come to a point where we just compromise on these things. So, you know, I'm ready. You know, I'm moving to a red state. I've already got it handled and done. I'm out of here. You know, I've got a kid who's a senior in high school, so I have to stay for that. That's it. After that, I'm gone. And I think you're going to see more and more and more people migrate into states that have laws that protect their values. And then now you're talking about, you know, one political idea moving to certain states, the other to the other states. Like, we're on that path. And I think we should just get it over with.
I do too. Jesse Kelly and I have talked about it a lot on his show, and I know he's fervently on board with it. I don't know if that's the right adjective. I don't care, Jen. If it's irreconcilable, which it is, 100% is, and anyone who thinks, by the way, that it's not irreconcilable, anyone who thinks, oh, let's hang on a little bit longer, we'll get through this, you stop. Like, seriously, stop. I appreciate your hustle and your desire for things to not be ugly and messy, but it's going to happen. But where it does get kind of tricky is I agree. Like, people are coming here. And by the way, if you're coming here and you're leaving because you voted for a Democrat and then you're disappointed with them, don't come and vote Democrat here, because that's not going to end well too. We'll throw your ass out. But you're going to come and you're going to get to a red state. And I always say that. I've seen you say it. Like, people, you need to get to an area of like-minded individuals, because we are on that warpath. We are on that trajectory as a country. But it's also, I then think, okay, well, it's going to make the states clear. Like, Oregon and California are going to establish themselves even more firmly as blue. Texas, Florida, South Dakota, Mississippi, whatever, are going to be that much more red, and you're going to kind of have the battle lines drawn. But the tricky thing is if you look at the, like, electoral map or whatever it's called, there's really not a, I mean, there are some, but there's really not like a pure blue state. There's just pure blue cities and metro areas. So, you know, there's pockets in California that are obviously red. There's pockets, you know, when you look at some of the Midwest states, who, you know, Minnesota has a huge swath of red. Michigan, Wisconsin are largely red. They just have these blue pockets. So it's going to be interesting to see how, when we get there, because we are going to get there, how that works itself out. Like, do those people have to fight their way out? Do they get out in time? Hopefully. I don't know. I mean, you get the point with my scenario, but it is interesting, because there's places that maybe always are going to be blue in a presidential election, but not because the vast majority of them are blue.
Yeah, and I think it just comes down to how, you know, if it's kind of a purple state, right, where you've got this and that, different parties kind of in power, I think it comes down to how far they embrace, like, the tyranny side of the Democrat Party. Like, you must do this and you must do that, and you can't own this, you can't eat that. Like, all of that plays into it. I think there might be some states that you know, stay more normal or neutral kind of thing, but at the end of the day, I think you're going to see people packing up their families and driving to a red state that matches what they want, like, out of a government, to be honest, which is very little.
Yeah. No. Well, and it's, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the real estate market's crazy everywhere, right? But it particularly is in Florida, because people are coming here. So you can sell your house for so much more than you could have last year. It's insane. Like, it's literally insane. Like, we could have such a great situation on our hands, but to really make it count, like, you've got to, like, sell and say, oh, well, let's just sell, like, bank all that, go to some other state, live in the sticks for a while on, like, a ranch or something, not like a big ranch, obviously that's expensive, but, like, go live a little bit more rural and then come back to the beach. The problem is obviously it's not that easy. There's complications with kids and school and all that, but it's like, I'm not leaving this state right now. Our state's getting it right. There's several others that are too. but you can't do it. It's wild out there. Love the comments, guys. Keep the comments coming in. Amen, Drew. Florida's not going to fall for it, says June. June always has good comments. You just do. Yeah, no, I don't think so either. But yet, there's people trying. There's Nikki Fried, whatever. No one cares. I don't even think her family likes her. But, like, she's running against DeSantis down here for governor. Or she's going to try to be the Democrat nominee. And her and the people who support her go after him. And essentially, you, me, all of us Floridians, freedom-loving Americans here in free America. And it's wild to see. Like, I wonder some point, like, are you guys going to keep fighting for these states? Are you going to realize, no, these people are, in their eyes, batshit crazy, get out, and they will likewise leave and go to a blue state like people are leaving to go to a red state. I wonder if that's going to happen or if they're going to fight like hell to try and flip states still. I don't know. I mean, what do you think, Ray?
I think it comes down to election laws, to be honest. I think states that are shoring up their election laws and undoing a lot of the COVID nonsense that happened, if the left thinks that a state has got it to a point where they're, there can't be any shenanigans in the election, I think that they're more likely to vacate that place. I think they're going to go for places that have looser election laws, no voter ID, all of those types of things where they can play their games. If you take Florida and you have a lockdown, iron tight, election laws around it, I think they're going to be less likely to go after that. I think it's a huge key is these state legislatures actually, locking these things down. And that's why you're seeing them fight so hard against it, from corporate America on down.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the reason why you've got to have people, the politicians, who some of which are never going to get this because they don't understand that it's not about them, but you've got to have some of them. And I hope that a lot of them do. And, or if they didn't, are at least learning it. Like I always say, everyone's saying they want Ron to run for president. I get it. He's the hottest ticket right now. He's the hot name in the GOP. And if we want a future of the GOP, which by the way, is going to be tough to even find a future of the GOP because the GOP is so fractured within. So getting everyone on the same page is going to be tough, even with someone like him. But we've got to have people like him stay here. We've got to have people with whether you like Abbott or not in Texas. I think that he tends to be an establishment guy, but he's also done some really good things right now. I think part of that's because of the pressure that people like DeSantis and Noam and their actions and the response from the people is putting on him. But he came out and said he's going to fine people like if they enforce mask mandates and stuff like that. So people have got to do that. They've got to do it right. And then they've got to stay there until we figure out what the hell is going on in our country. Because you could run, DeSantis could run for president in 4 years, 3 years. Hopefully, he wins again here in 2022, then goes to run in 2024. Who the hell knows what the country looks like then? And even if it is still together and it's still one union, not unified, but one union, 50 states, there's no telling that it's going to last that way for his first term. So it's like, no, you guys stay here. And then once everything splits, we'll figure out who becomes the leader or the president of the United States of America. And then the socialist states of America can do whatever they want on their own. Who cares? I literally could care less.
Yeah. And it's kind of crazy because, you move them into the White House, who backs that power vacuum of it all, And I think in the last year, we've absolutely, as a country, completely learned how important it is who your governor is, because they made all the difference in the last year and a half, not even more than whoever was in the White House, Trump or Biden. The local governor, your local school boards, your local sheriffs, that's who matters. So I think you're right. I think it's it would be scary to send DeSantis to the White House too soon until we know how this is all going to shake out. And having a strong governor is probably better than having the president that you like at this point. And I mean, Florida's a great example of that. Like you're going to be living free while, I'm getting arrested at Target for trying to buy something without a mask. So.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's way more important. And down to the local level, obviously the governor is the most important in your state, but down to the local level too, it's just, man, it's critical. It's critical. We fell for it for so long. We fell for a lot of things for so long. We fell for the fact that, we're sending off our kids to college and that academia wasn't going to totally screw us over as a country, not just on the individual family level, but as a country, because it really has. It's perhaps the biggest issue we faced. Obviously, the media right up there too, big tech up there. But we've never paid attention enough to the local stuff because we haven't made it important enough in our minds because it's not flashy or important. They're not on TV. You don't see that. They don't get paid much. They don't at all. I've looked into that. But like you see how we got here. It's like, no. Okay. All right. City school board, city council, state legislature, governor, be in those spots. If you don't agree with the people in those spots, work to change it. If it's not going to be changeable because you're in a state like, I don't know, California, Illinois, New York, whatever, get the hell out. Get the hell out. It's not easy. Not fun. Sorry. That's where we are. That's where we are as a country. Yeah. It's so important. Okay. This is a comment here from, I can't exactly see the name. I apologize. Michael, maybe. Sorry. It's small on my screen. I'll try and expand it a little bit. There we go. Michael Burke. People, thousands coming across the border that have active COVID going to states where they, wherever they want to go, no matter what, COVID positive people coming across the open borders is an atrocity. Yeah, so we talked a little bit about that earlier in the show, Michael, but it is. And to blame, and I think we got into it yesterday on the show, maybe it was the day before, but to blame the unvaccinated for, and literally Joe Biden called the unvaccinated irresponsible yesterday, to blame just that group of people who maybe there are some that are pushing against it because they have some crazy conspiracy theory about it. Maybe those are true. Maybe there's not. But also there's people in there who just have lots of questions. I'd say the vast majority who haven't gotten it just have questions because this is still not approved, the vaccine. There's been tons of data to support the issues. More deaths on this vaccine than every other vaccine dating back to 1997. And we're only a few months in, people, by the way. Those are pretty damning numbers. But there's lots of reasons for that. And meanwhile, they will not address what you just brought up, Michael, that people are coming across. The case we talked about in La Jolla was a perfect example. It was not isolated. It is one of many where these people are coming across. And that's not to say that they're the only ones to blame, but they're making it super simple at the government level, pushing it. And it's not super simple. It's not just the unvaccinated. It's the illegal migrants who are, again, illegal, should not be coming over and let in without going through the process. And then it's also, as the CDC has said, the vaccinated. People are getting the Delta variant that they're so terrified about, which you're going to be fine with, by the way, but they're getting the Delta variant. And then the vaccinated are spreading the Delta variant. Some of them get symptoms, some of them don't, but they're still spreading it. And they're seeing there's a spot in your state, Ray, in California, several concentrated areas where they had more vaccinated people and the amount of infections were higher in those areas. So it's not just unvaccinated people. It's just not that simple. But they're trying to do that because they want to divide us, which is the end game for them. And that's what they need.
Yeah, division is what they want. Like, look, people can, it's okay to make a decision and say, hey, you know, this isn't right for me and my family because we're not at high risk and we're not scared. And for the government to come in so hard and now, you know, making us feel like bad people and restricting us from different areas and not allowing us to participate or work or get, you know, to have a living to feed your family unless you get this thing that most people probably don't even need, especially if they've already had it. Like, they don't even address that part. Like, they won't address someone who's had COVID and may or may not still even need a vax, but they will make Americans feel like second-class citizens, push all these passports via corporations because they don't think they can get away with it at a federal level while they're having thousands of people pour in every day that they redistribute all over the country and spread the Delta virus or variant. You know, it's like when you know too much about the truth of what is actually happening, there's no way you could believe or trust any of them. Like, it's just based on mostly lies at this point.
Speaking of lies, I want to totally jump back to some of the law enforcement conversation we had earlier, because you're talking about that. You're talking about the trust for government. You're talking about, we talked about the January 6th stuff and those four cops who were up there. You had a really interesting piece that you wrote on thinblueondeeptv.com, which you guys should check out, not just the site, but particularly this piece where you talked about FBI. I think, what was the title? You said something like, is it time for the good FBI agents to go to another agency? Something along those lines, right? And
yep.
And it was a really good piece because you said it and highlighted it in there, and you did it very eloquently, and you used the backdrop of your 20 years of law enforcement experience to talk about it. And I've said multiple times, like every time that people pick on the FBI, CIA, NSA, et cetera, I haven't worked at the Bureau, but I've worked at the other places, and I know the agency in particularly very, very well. And when they pick on it, I always just remind people, like, look, you're picking on the leadership, you're picking on the process, the institution, but a lot of the people who signed up there, again, not the analysts, not the people who are back home. Some of them are good too. Buck Sexton is a good friend. He was a great analyst and is a great American and a talented show host, but they're in the minority. It's kind of like the State Department. There's like two good people at the State Department. The rest are worthless. But the people who are doing the real work at the Bureau and the agency and these other places, like, they love America like you and I love America. They love the Constitution like you and I love the Constitution, and they love freedom like you and I love freedom. It's the leadership and everything that's the problem. But getting back to your article, you highlight that same point. You also highlight what I would say too. There's not many Bureau people that I've met and liked. A lot of their agents are dicks and just not that talented. But there are some good ones, and they're not necessarily caught up in the political drama that's happening at the top. By the way, I hate that they call interrogations interviews. That's just gay. But you talk about the fact that there are some good ones, and now it's so bad and it's so broken there that doesn't make sense if you're one of the good ones to stay there. And I think it's a really interesting question. I think you did a great job of posing it. The question is I guess where do they go? And I don't know the answer. I'm literally throwing it out. Where do those people go? The people who care about the mission, and maybe it's not just the Bureau, maybe it's the agency, maybe it's law enforcement officers at the local and metropolitan level. But what is the answer?
I wrote that specifically about the FBI, but I could have written it about, any big blue city police department at this point, right? Like when your agency is going in a different direction than it should, and it's moving to be a politically motivated organization, or it's infringing on rights or doing shoddy investigations like the FBI's complete failures of the last 15 years or so, as a cop, it's time to look at some place that you can work and feel good about how they're treating Americans. So it's not easy. None of these things we're talking about easy. We're talking about families moving to different states because of tyranny or getting out of blue states. It's the same for cops, for FBI agents, whoever it is. You know what? It may be difficult and uncomfortable, but it might be time to go apply at a different agency. Yeah, you may have to get recertified. You may have to do this, but can you look yourself in the mirror and work for an agency that has the kind of track record that the FBI does? No, if you're a mid-level player and you can affect change, I would encourage you to stay and do that. But for the average agent, you're not going to change the system as one person. So
no,
it might be time to go look for another job in the same field. It's not going to be that hard to get hired as an FBI agent into a law enforcement agency. Pick and choose wisely, find a constitutional sheriff's department and dig in. That's what I would tell all these people.
No, I agree. And I think it's good advice. I think it's wise because, again, your point at the end there is so true. Everything you said is, but you're not going to change this system. You could be 100% right on what you're saying and what you're exposing or blowing the whistle on if you're one of those whether you're quiet about it or loud about it, you're just not going to fix it. So go somewhere where it's fun to get up and go and do your job, where you are excited like you were when you first went to the academy, whether it's Quantico or your law enforcement, whatever the case might be. All right, hi to Doppel. Welcome for coming in. You're late. We'll talk about that later. Bravo Tango said, I've said it twice. I'll get to it now if I can find it again. It's up here somewhere. Son of a bitch, it's up here somewhere. I appreciate that you've said it twice, so I'm going to give you the spot. Here we go. All right, popping it up. Our government won't take us over, but they will divide us and let another government, say China, Russia, and the like, to break what's left so we have no choices but death or conform. All right, that's interesting. It's very big. It's very big. It's getting very Red Dawnish, which is one of the greatest movies ever filmed. Ray, why don't you go first? I'm always yapping.
It's the division is real. Like that, that's a not to get all tinfoil hat on you, but it's a Marxist playbook, right? That's how it works. I mean, if you're buying in that the left and the Democrats are going full blown, Marxist with their policies, they do divide and conquer like that. So I don't know what they're capable of. There's so much under the surface. I mean, with money in other countries, I mean, if you look at the Hunter Biden stuff, it's just sickening. Taking $50 million payments from the mayor of Moscow's wife for whatever unknown reason. Who knows how far they'll go? Who knows what their motivation is or how far they'll take it? But one thing's for sure, they are absolutely hell-bent on dividing this country into two teams. So I don't know where we're going, man.
I don't either. Well, I don't look. If any of us had the answers, we'd probably be doing something different. YouTube would still be squelching us, but we'd be doing something different. But like, 100% on the division, like you said, that is their goal. They have to have that, and everything they're doing. And by the way, Ray mentioned how they're using the Marxist communist playbook, guys. That is 100% not conspiracy. If you are not seeing that, you are so far behind. That I'll pray for you. You're going to need some more alcohol, and so will I. Like, you've got to see that's real, and that's what's happening. That's who they are. Are there a couple that are a little bit more moderate, like the old school Democrats? Sinema kind of falls in that camp sometimes. Manchin does. Yes, are they flip floppers? Yes, they are. But they fall in that old traditional Democrat, or what we thought was old traditional Democrat mindset. The new party is not like that. And frankly, Joe didn't, I don't think, used to be completely like that. He just doesn't even know who he is anymore, and he's being used and abused. And it's disgusting to see in its own kind of separate thing. But on the China stuff, I think that is China's goal. And I think to what Ray was saying, that there's money there, there's ties and connections that we don't know all about, but we know that they're happening, some of them, and that they have an impact. What I wonder is, I guess, if you play that scenario out, what the other side thinks about. Because again, this week I brought up the point again. Americans make up 5% of the world's population. Just freaking 5%. But we have 46% of the firearms because we're ballers. That's badass. Like, so if you're them, okay, yeah, you've weakened and divided them. But the Democrats are terrified. Half the reason that they're doing all this control stuff is that so they can get a precedent. They can set the precedent and say, okay, now let's take this. We're just going to take this on firearms. And I know Tyrone's going to say, oh, who did the bump stocks? But hold on, Tyrone. Like, that is their goal. Forget about any other person. Think about the Democrats. The Democrats want to take the slippery slope model. Take a little bit here, prove they can do it, and then come back for more. Okay, we locked you down. We gave you freedom. You're welcome. I'm daddy. You're my bitch. Now we're going to lock you down again, and you're going to do it because, again, you're my bitch. And when they stand up and push back, then they get frustrated. And that's what they're seeing with the vaccine. So all that to say, they're terrified. They want to take our firearms. And I'm curious to know, and this is the most long-winded way of getting there. I'm curious to know what the Chinas and the Russias of the world say when it's like, okay, we've got them weakened. You can come in if you want. Just let us have our little socialist states of America. Because they know too, like, no, those bitches are crazy. They're crazy. They've got 46% of the world's firearms. They're patriotic. They love corn dogs. They love barbecues. They love rodeos. They love all this stuff. And they're going to kick our ass. It's going to be like invading Afghanistan. And you deal with the Taliban in the mountains, in the caves. We're better than them. We're more organized than them. And so has every other person that's ever gone into that country. But guess what? Guess who always wins over there? They do, because it's like, I don't know how to beat these people. Like, they're crazy. Now, did we defeat Al-Qaeda? Did we do our part at the beginning? Yeah, we whooped ass. It was awesome. It was so fun. Some of the best memories of my life. But that's got to be what they're thinking. Like, y'all are some crazy mother... You know what? Right?
The whole thing, it's insane. Like, and you said something I want to touch on real quick. You know, the taking of the rights and how much we own guns. Who's to say that the Biden administration isn't going to come out and say, you know what, we are declaring gun violence a public health emergency. And because of these mandates that we've already, we have precedent on, we're now going to come and remove these guns from home under public health because the CDC says that people are dying because of these guns. I wouldn't even put it past him at this point. I mean, would you put that past the Biden administration from what you've seen?
No, not at all. Not at all. And you see that with, I mean, they could do that just on their own accord, which I wouldn't put past the Biden administration at all. But you see them do that in a separate vein, granted, like red flag laws. Like, someone gets to determine that person, I think Ray's crazy. I think Drew's crazy. Well, no shit, I'm crazy. I was an intel officer. Like, you can then go and take their firearms. And then they've got to fight to prove why they're not crazy. And you're on the defense. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So they can do the same thing like they've done with the pandemic call. And some of them have called that. There have been sound bites of them saying it is a pandemic. It is a whatever term they use. So I could totally see them doing that. The problem is, and I think the reason they haven't done it yet, because they know that they want to, is again, they're terrified of what the other side will do. Like, yes, their people will go along with and say, yeah, let's take everyone's freedom, not realizing that eventually their freedom's going to get lost, which again, blows my mind. Like, you guys who stand up for these communist Marxist values, not seeing two steps ahead where they take freedom from you too, and your life becomes miserable. But whatever, you're dumb. You're not going to get it. If they could do it and not face absolute carnage and chaos right now, which I'm not suggesting, again, so slow your roll, YouTube and everyone else, but they would do it. They would totally do it. They just know that we'd whoop their ass. And they know that law enforcement, a lot of them, yes, some are going to say, I just got to protect my job and do whatever they say and roger that, I'm going to do it. But the people who get shit done on the law enforcement and military side, eventually, when that fractures, and if the country fractures, the military fractures, they would be on it. Everything would work itself out. The right people would be on the right side.
Yeah, I believe that. I think that's exactly right. And you know, you mentioned red flags. Red flags falls into those categories where it sounds like a really good idea. Like on paper, like, yeah, you know, if someone might be a crazy lunatic, we should be able to like take their guns and have a hearing. That's great. But then you look into laws and like what laws actually do, and who is this person that's going to decide if this person can own a gun? And is the only thing that matters is if they're a leftist judge or a right-leaning judge, that's how it's going to decide if you get guns. What happens if they decide that Trump supporters are extremist terrorists and they shouldn't own guns and they use red, like anything that comes into gun control is bad because it's that yeah. little inch they take and ends in shooting, in a shooting yeah. war. Because I'm with you. I don't think when it comes down to it, if it ever did, I don't think American patriots are going to give up their guns. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they would resist it violently.
Yeah, some will, but the majority won't. And it's going to end. You're going to end up having like dozens of Ruby Ridges, and then which again, I'm not cheering for. I wish we weren't in this situation at all. But you're going to have a bunch of situations like that that eventually people say, okay, I didn't have the balls to say no at first, but now that I saw him and her and them do it, it's going to catch on like wildfire. And they're going to say, no, we're not going to become Cuba and Venezuela. And again, that's the difference between those countries you've got. And there's good people in those countries, but those shithole countries, the difference is they're unarmed people who've never had a voice. We're people who have always had a voice and are armed to the teeth. Like we've got like, they say they're doing that and the commando montage, we're like zipping up stuff, putting paint on here, attaching a frag here. Like that's what's happening. Like it gets bad fast. So it's a different story. All right, it's four. So let's take some questions. Let's take some more comments here and then we'll wrap up because Ray and I have definitely had fun conversing with each other, but we'll try to include some people here more. Sharon, you brought up, and by the way, I hope you're doing well, Sharon, but you brought up, why isn't anybody, and I'll try and pop it up here, why isn't anybody interested in China meeting with the Taliban? So I can tell you, China and Russia both have been very, very involved in Afghanistan over the years, for a long, long time now. It just hasn't gotten as much attention. Russia started to get more attention. Certainly they did with the whole Russia bounty BS story, but like they've been there trying to undermine us for a long, long time. And then China, of course, has the added interest of minerals and some of the stuff that's going on there. I don't think it's not important. I would just say that we have so like, and I said, I didn't not support Trump pulling people out. And of course, Biden's taking credit for that now, but like and people are rejoicing and celebrating about that. And I think that is good because we lost focus there. We lost track of what the mission was, even though people are still doing great stuff. And I know there's people who want to continue to go there because if you're in the fight, you want to be in the fight. You want to be there. But we will be back there. That is not the end of Afghanistan. So if you think that we pull out, it's done, and it's over, like, hooray, congrats. I'm not saying that you're saying that, Sharon, or anyone here for that matter, but we're not done over there at all. It's not going to be the case. But when it comes to the China stuff, it's important, and that region will always be important. And obviously they are arguably our biggest foe right now, but we've just got so much shit to deal with here at home. You know, everything that Ray and I've talked about today, it's like, we have to handle this or it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. So should it be high on the priority list? Yes. But that was back when we were a unified country. We're not now. We're essentially, for all intents and purposes, two countries who just are under one flag, which the other side, by the way, hates and burns in our streets. So, anywho.
We get to keep the flag. That's my divorce breakup.
100%. 100% we keep the flag. They can have their hammer and sickle. We'll keep the flag. If it goes back to kind of the old Betsy Ross style, the old colonial style, like whatever, we just get the theme, however many stars it is, because that was a badass flag too. Maybe we should have never grown past that. I don't know. But we definitely keep the flag. We keep the anthem, and we're going to play. If you're in a border town, you know, if you're in like the equivalent of Juarez or Nogales or something like that, when we play events, it's going to be so loud. You're going to be so mad that the other country next door is playing it, that you can hear it for freaking miles away.
That's so okay. Racist.
It is, right? Gosh, someone called me that literally. What was it? It was the show yesterday. I don't even know what we were talking about, but it was certainly nothing racist. And this person comes in out of left field from Facebook. Of course, has got the I'm vaccinated, you know, little oval thing on his screen, and says how all you motherfuckers are so racist, you're all going to hell. Like, oh, okay, all right. That's interesting. It's literally all they've got. Like, that's the most unintelligent thing ever. It blows my mind. I mean, honestly, it's a compliment at this point because I'm very much not. I know you're not. I know most people aren't. Are there some that are? Sure. And those people are awful. But, like, the terms have all been changed, what they mean. So it's like, okay, call me that. Whatever. I just don't care. You're forgetting the fact that I don't care what you think. It's a big problem. The other side loves to think that their opinions are held in high regard. Like, I just don't remember. I'm an intel officer, which makes me a sociopath. I don't care. I will use you to accomplish this mission. I will love you too. I'm loyal if you're on my team, but that's how it is. Okay. Let's see if we got some other comments here. Bye, Mary Schmitz. Thanks for being here. Scott Thomas and liberals are idiots. They really are. They're idiots and they're evil. They're all sorts of stuff. Scrolling through, Gub, you said earlier, Gub Dig, good to see you, by the way. Want to escape Minnesota? You should. Love it. It's my home state. But unless they can sort some stuff out there, man, it's not a good spot to be right now, especially if you're in the Twin Cities area. All right, Ravino, when you make peaceful revolution impossible, you make violent revolution inevitable. JFK. Okay. Some good. There's so many. I mean, isn't it crazy how you look back at quotes from people all the way back to our founding fathers who, good for them, didn't have the technology to have Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that because it has been the demise of our country. But they literally were able to call out all the stuff that was going to be a threat. People who talked about how we were going to be destroyed from within, not by China or Russia or whatever other country. We're so much better than all those countries. Literally, you can stack them up. They could have some crazy incestual relationship and become like one big, like Voltron. And we're still better. Voltron was amazing in the 80s too, by the way. If you dispute it, we're not on the same team. But it's just true. And they get all these things right. All right. If you see anything else, Disco, pop it up there because I'm scrolling and reading as fast as I can. Debbie said, close the fucking border. And I would say, absolutely. It solves a lot of problems. Say that again, Ray.
No, I endorse closing the border 100%. Shut it down.
It. Well, we could go on a super long rant about that. It just makes sense. It's not racist. It's not mean to close the border. You're not a country without a border. You have a process. If you don't like the process, you vote on the process, you change the process. That's literally what you do. But just letting everyone in, someone, this sounds really mean, someone's kid is going to get on a low level the virus from one of these people. Someone's kid is going to lose a job to one of these people. Someone's kid is going to get raped or murdered by one of these people. And most of them who want to come over are good people, but there's people who come over with bad intentions. And you can minimize that, not completely take it away, but you can minimize it by just enforcing the nation's laws. A novel concept, I know, but it's something you should really look into, Democrats. Law enforcement officers are in danger. June, always good comments from June. LEO is in danger. That said, they should not bend to the lawlessness ever. Law enforcement officers in danger. That said, they should not bend to the lawlessness ever, right?
That's one of those things that if you're talking about the lawlessness on the streets and you know, officers standing by while things are happening, that's out of their hands. That's gone. Like that's your district attorneys who are allowing people to run out of CVS in California with $950 of items every single day and nothing happened. That's like the law in Washington that just got passed that made a change from these woke lawmakers made a change in the language under police reform. And they changed, basically, you can't use force if you only suspect someone of a crime. You need probable cause, which means usually you don't get that until the end of an investigation. So yesterday, this is what wokeness has done to policing. Yesterday in Washington State, they had a murder and they had a suspect description and they had a direction of travel of this person on foot. Any other case, any other time, anywhere else, they would deploy a canine and track that person because it's a murder suspect. They could not track that person because they didn't have probable cause to arrest him and they could not use force on him per state law. So if they go after a murder suspect, they could be arrested. Welcome to Washington and police reform.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just always more complicated. And again, you can't blame the law enforcement officers. It's these district attorneys. It's the chief, whatever the case might be. There's when you see those absurd policies, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's rarely the officer. It's the chain of command. Something that's, I can't tell you the amount of stuff that I saw overseas. Again, we lived in different worlds, but we did similar types of work, similar mindsets, similar training and background. And the amount of great ideas that leadership would come in or some new young buck who's coming up the ranks thinks is a great idea and how that affects what actually goes on an operational value. I'll tell you the best things I ever accomplished were, I won't tell you which ones they were because it would get me in trouble. But the best things I ever did were I was told no. And then we just went and did it anyways. And then
that's how it works.
How it works.
In policing, it's the same. The ones who are typically making the stupidest policy decisions that affect the department are the ones who came through and worked patrol for like a year just to check the box that they were a cop. And then they go to the next admin job for a year. And then they go to this. They never really did the job. I mean, they were that thing. They were a cop. They were whatever. But did they really do the job? Not really. Like they don't have a real understanding. And then they get into running up the chain of command to make the money, get the power, and make horrible decisions. I can't imagine intelligence communities any different.
No, it's not. It's not at all. Humans are humans. So all the same problems literally plague everything and everywhere. It's just, I guess, okay, I don't know what that comment is. So I'm coming in on someone else's conversation there. Bravo says we're a product of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners to it. Amen. Tyrone comes in with another Voltron response or appreciating that, which I appreciate because 80s cartoons are the best. Everything in the 80s was the best. Anyone who disagrees is a communist. It's just true. All right. We're going to run, folks. We've had a good time. Huge shout out to Ray. Ray, what are the best spots to follow you, to check out some of the sites, some of the work that you're doing? Let the people know.
You know, thinbluelinetv.com is probably the best way. That's where all like my show stuff is. We provide the perspective of the truth about American law enforcement. We show body cams, pursuits, what actually happens. We get into politics for it. So thinbluelinetv.com, and we appreciate you checking it out.
Absolutely. Be sure to do that. Follow them on Twitter. It's 50 Patriot, right?
Yep. That is it. You can find it on Fibberline TV.
Yeah, you can find it on there. You can search Ray Dietrich, Dietrich on Twitter. You'll find it that way too. Definitely worth the follow. Doing tons of awesome stuff out there. Love hanging out with you, brother. Thanks for everything you did too in the law enforcement community and serving this country and your communities. Obviously, isn't wasted on us. It's a big deal.
I appreciate it, man. I had a great time, and hopefully we'll do it again.
We definitely will. We definitely will. Appreciate all the compliments, all the comments coming through. Make sure you hit that like button on the way out if you haven't already. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Full slate of shows, booze and banter, all of it. You got it. It's coming your way. For now, enjoy the weekend. Be safe. Be smart. Be free.